Good morning and God bless you. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Today is Sunday, February 3rd, 2019, Super Bowl Sunday. I want to take a couple, maybe three Sundays, to talk about our expectations of redemption, which are many, but particularly forgiveness and healing. These two realities are uniquely joined together throughout the Word, which we will see as we move the subject along. Ultimately, as the weeks move along, we will work the aspects of forgiveness, what they mean to our lives as we live day to day or day by day. We know the big picture when it comes to redemption. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ and have eternal life. But what exactly can we expect now from all he accomplished? Well, Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 7, it reads, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." The word redemption is a releasing effect by payment of a ransom. Jesus Christ laid down his life as a ransom for our lives. Redemption is deliverance. It's a liberation procured by the payment of a ransom, and that includes all of our past sins, even those we cannot remember. Another point in redemption is that it delivers us from the guilt of sin. We are liberated from the guilt and doom of sin and introduced into a life of liberty called the newness of life. The word forgive means liberty, remission, pardon, letting them go as if they had not been committed. It is a remission of the penalty of sin. Colossians restates the same message in Colossians chapter 1. Verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Forgiveness is a releasing from the bondage or imprisonment. It is forgiveness or pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed. Don't let the adversary tie you up and imprison you in past sins. It means to treat as innocent. Can you fathom that is how your heavenly Father sees you? Remember the forgiving Father in Luke we read about a couple of weeks ago? As the Father saw his Son while he was afar off, he looked upon him as innocent. He called for the robe and the ring and the celebration of life that his Son returned to him. Titus chapter 2 sets an exciting expectation for us because of redemption. We all desire to walk in fellowship with our Heavenly Father and to please him. Redemption made it possible. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, "Who, Jesus Christ, gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." This word for redeem means to release on receipt of a ransom, to deliver us from evils of every kind, external and internal. That is what our Lord and Savior accomplished for us. Christ redeemed mankind from all iniquity, the lawlessness of the old man, the bondage that is in the man, that is in man's self-will and which rejects the will of God. The word iniquity refers to the violations of the law, meaning we live lawlessly. Man made his own laws according to his lusts and desires and lived the way he wanted without respect to God's will. Humanly, we do not have the ability to keep the law, but with the gift of Holy Spirit in us and the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to live by the greater law, the law of love in Christ Jesus. God immersed our hearts in his love by way of the Holy Spirit, so we can live by the greater law of agape love. The word purify indicates we are free from defilement of sin and from faults. We are free from guilt of sin as well. Sin is one thing and guilt is another. We are freed and purified from both sin and the guilt. Purify means to remove or cleanse, remove by cleansing. It means to make us free from any kind of admixture. To get the complete picture, once we're purified through redemption at the new birth, we maintain our purity in our fellowship with God by confessing our sins with the expectation that God will then cleanse us from all unrighteousness as promised in 1 John chapter 1. Verse 9 speaks of our day-by-day fellowship with our Heavenly Father, or day-to-day fellowship with our Heavenly Father. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Clean means to wash, and wash it leaving nothing, absolutely no stain. When we are cleansed from all unrighteousness, we can live zealously to do the good work spoken of in Titus. It's impossible to be excited about well-doing when we are burdened with the stain of unconfessed sins and their associated guilt. We feel awful, like hypocrites, phonies. So, with redemption and our confession of current sins, we stay kind of up to date to continue in the good works God would have us to do. Remember in Ephesians, it says, we are his masterpiece, created unto good works, that we should do them. We are free from the bondage of sin and the guilt of sin. It's as though we never sinned. We are treated as innocent by God. E.W. Bullinger, in his book on the divine names and titles of God, lists 10 redemptive names of God, which are found in the Bible. The second on the list is Jehovah Rapha, which means, I am the Lord that healeth thee. In this redemptive name for God, healing and deliverance are the expectations, whether it be mental, physical, spiritual, or any combination thereof. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. In verse 26 it says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. In Christian circles, the focus is on the I am. I am is his name. That's what God calls himself. As wonderful as that is, we cannot neglect what the I am does. We should focus on what he wills as I am. Here it is. This is what he does as the I am. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am puts it in the present tense right now. Humans reckon life in time periods. We think of life and measure it in minutes, hours, days, weeks, even years. But God sees everything at once because he is everywhere at once. God is omnipotent, meaning all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere present. And he's also omniscient. He's all-knowing. In terms of God's reckoning picture of, picture a globe of the world. The human eye would see only part of the globe, as the other parts on the backside would be hidden from our view. God, however, being everywhere present, sees the entire surface of the globe all at once and all the way through as well. That is why it is I am, an ever-present now. Technically, to say what God once was, he will always be, is incorrect. Because for God, there is no once was. For God, there is no future. Everything is present now. God is in a constant state of now. For example, from God's point of view, our lives are eternal. But from our perspective, our lives are everlasting. Because we reckon time from the date of our birth or from the time of our new birth until the date of the gathering together unto Christ. God foreknew our salvation back in Genesis 1:1, and from his perspective, our lives have been eternal. As much as is possible, we should train our minds to view our lives through his eternal perspective. We would elevate our perception of godly truths, which would be so helpful in reckoning God's word and will into our lives. So, in regard to the revelation that's given in Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Some texts read, I am the Lord, thy physician. He is our physician. When? Now. When is God our physician? Right now. He is the Lord that healeth thee. He is I am. So when does he heal? Well, it has to be right now because he is the I am. I want you to understand and appreciate that God purposes for us in Christ's redemption to be as free from sickness and disease and afflictions as he wills for us to be free from sin and condemnation. Think about this. If you were to ask Christians in your neighborhood what they believe God's will is for man's soul, don't you think most would say they want that God wants man's soul to be saved? But now think about asking them about God's will for man's body. Would they reply as energetically that God's will for man's body is to be healed? I imagine that would stop them in their tracks because of unbelief as to God being light and God being good always. Our culture says God is light, but then puts the blame on him for evil things in life. It's calling the light darkness and darkness light. Many people understand the truth that Christ died to redeem us from our sins, but are not so resolved to enjoy his redemptive work in taking upon himself our physical afflictions. But he did, and it was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 53. Let's go there. In Isaiah chapter 53, beginning in verse 3, this is the children of Israel's perspective and the people at that time. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, which is our sicknesses, and carried our sorrows or diseases. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Many people still consider it that way. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. I want to take a look at David's revelation in the 103rd Psalm. Let's go there. In Psalm 103, we'll start in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We want to make sure we keep these in our memory. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Verse 3 tells us God forgives all our iniquities, all of them. How many of our diseases? All. When? now because God is always current. The medical and scientific world can discover a new disease today, but nothing is new to God. He already knows because he is omniscient. He is everywhere present. He's an everywhere present now. He is all-knowing. It's like looking at the globe. He sees the entire surface at once. We see only a portion of it, the part that's kind of facing us. But he sees the entire surface, the front, the back, because he is everywhere present. And he says that he heals and forgives all our iniquities. When? Now, because he is the I Am. Do you see that? The I Am heals and forgives. That is what he does. Verse 4 goes on to say, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Let him be kind to you. Allow his kindness into your life. Accept his kindness. Allow him to be tender unto you. Allow his tender mercies to engulf you. His desire, his will, is to redeem your life from destruction and then crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Allow yourself to be satisfied. Allow your mouth to be satisfied with good things. We should always have good things to speak. In redemption, we are rescued from an undesirable state. Neither sickness, nor disease, nor sin, nor guilt, nor condemnation is a desirable state. This is not a condition God desires for us to be mired in, nor is it a condition we'd like to be in or stay in. In the redemptive works of Christ, it's important that we were redeemed as much from sickness and disease as we were from sin and guilt. Can you see that healing and deliverance is God's will for you, and it is God's will now? God brings his will to pass. We do our part simply to trust him. We do not lean upon our own understanding. We have deep confidence and resolve that he will lead us through any challenge as he promised. If we are currently weak on the forgiveness and healing portions of redemption, let's get ourselves determined on the truth of this. Be steadfast on God's will for our redemption. Both forgiveness of sin and its miserable guilt and his healing of our bodies. Healing and deliverance of our bodies is of the same importance as deliverance and forgiveness of our sins. When Jesus laid down his life, he paid the ransom for both. This is truly the right now perspective for your forgiveness and healing. Next week, we'll look at forgiveness in terms of the body of Christ. God bless you.